That's really what Witch Church is. It's just a think tank. But how are we doing, my friends? There is an eclipse that is technically March 25th. I guess we'll be feeling the energy of it, you know, yesterday leading up to in today. Because tonight, the eclipse, it'll take place, I think, around like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. It's like in the very early hours of the morning on March 25th. So there's, I think we're very much in the realm of the eclipse right now. Feeling a little anxious, to be honest, and mostly because I think eclipse brings change. And for me, Libra, which is the sort of the eclipse is in Libra, and Libra is my fourth house of the home. And that's like the one thing I'm like, I don't want that to change. I love my house. So I'm just like a little bit nervous. But I'm sharing this because I think it's easy to catastrophize during eclipse season, especially. We tend to think the worst situation possible. Even this morning, I'm like, oh my God, what if my landlords call us and tell us they're selling the place and we have to move out? And I don't know. Like, I just have all of these fear stories coming up about the changes that might be coming. But I just wanted to share that because I think it's natural and normal even to sometimes maybe like buy into the fear story, especially during an eclipse season where our emotions tend to be heightened. And most often, just like observing everybody else's astrology from like the outside looking in, most of the time what we think when we project our fear story onto the transit, it usually doesn't even happen, right? And B, sometimes we just we'll miss out on the true wisdom of the transit itself because we're too busy projecting a fear story onto the transit, right? So I just wanted to mention that in case anybody else is sort of spiraling in some way. If this eclipse season is spiking some anxiety or those fear narratives, just know that, you know, I think the human mind tries to predict the future in order to keep ourselves safe, and sometimes it's completely wrong, you know. And Corey, you said the eclipse for you is 12th, 6th house, moon conjunct natal Pluto. Of course, I'm afraid I'm gonna die or someone I know is going to die. Yeah, it's like, totally. Like, I think from the astrologer's perspective, like, it's so easy to buy into, yeah, the fear story right now. And I kind of want to tap into how we can befriend the energy of the eclipses this year. But first, I just want to begin with, you know, we had a new moon Libra eclipse on October 14th, 2023. So I want us to like take a deep breath and think about what was happening in October 2023, because those themes might be resolving or coming to a conclusion, or there's something about the themes of October 2023 that might be highlighted again. Now, as for the eclipses in this season, we have the Libra full moon eclipse on March 25th, 2024. That'll be at 5 degrees Libra. And then in a couple weeks, we'll have the new moon Aries eclipse that'll be at 19 degrees Aries. So that one on April 8th, that's like the visible eclipse. So I think that's the one where everybody's driving. At least I'm in Chicago, so we're kind of close to the place where it can be visible. So I know a few people who are like driving to, I don't even know, like Cincinnati or I forget, to see it. Because I was raised in the Hellenistic astrology tradition, the ancient astrologers said that it was bad luck to bask in the rays of the eclipse. So, I don't like to be so dogmatic about these ancient rules, and I think if you want to watch the eclipse, watch the eclipse. For me, I don't know, there's just something too ingrained into me as a Hellenistic astrologer. I'm like, oh my god, don't bask in the rays of the eclipse. But I'm sure it'll be a great experience to see the total eclipse if anybody's going to watch it. But I wanted to focus in today on a few things. One being, why do we even have eclipses? Well, it's when the moon gets close by degree to its own nodes, right? So eclipses will follow where the north node and the south node are. For instance, right now we have the north node in Aries and south node in Libra. So thus, the lunar events this year that are in Aries or Libra will have an eclipse signature, most of the time. And this eclipse on March 25th is the full moon in Libra. And I just want to talk about the nodal axis in Aries and Libra right now, that north node in Aries, south node in Libra. For me, the nodes carry a big signature of karmic energy. And you've heard me talk about karmic things before, meaning I don't mean it to be like this ominous karma is a bitch kind of reading, but karma for me is a collection of energy. It's the energy that we collect from our choices. And the nodes actually point to lifetimes and lifetimes, I think, of choices that we've made both individually and collectively. And I think the nodes teach us how our souls get comfortable in a series of choices. And from lifetime to lifetime, it's definitely a big possibility that we repeat some of the same choices that we've made in the past, right? So when I think about Libra and Aries and the karma of the nodal axis, we're talking about the individual versus the relationship. We're talking about you know, our relationship to relationships. You know, that's very Libra Aries. And we're also asking, how do I retain my individuality in relationships versus losing myself to a partnership? And also at the same time, when I choose to be in partnership, I do surrender some aspect of my individuality, right? So there's a lot of relational themes that come with Aries and Libra. I'm even thinking about the metaphor for me of the sign of Aries. I think of it as kind of the moment we are birthed from our mother's womb and we are given a name. So that for me is the symbol of Aries. We're being named. We're being crowned, literally and figuratively. We're being crowned as an individual in some way, right? And Aries is about our name having meaning, right? So if that is Aries, the minute we are crowned as an individual, across the street is Libra, right? On the zodiacal wheel. Now, Libra is the moment we learn that in order to go on our individual path, it's actually required of us to have relationships. You know, like relationships often are the deliverer of our karma or like our self-discovery or whatnot, right? So there could be a lot of these themes swirling around, you know, in our minds right now. I've noticed these themes coming up in readings the past month, not even necessarily in the form of like a breakup or a divorce, although that has come up. But I'm actually thinking that a lot of the readings I've given, we've been focusing in on like that relationship to relationships. Like what kind of relationship do I want to build, whether it's with a romantic partner, a friend, a business partner, or even most importantly with myself? And it sounds kind of cheesy, but that question, like, what relationship am I building with myself, feels kind of Aries Libra eclipse. And we're always building a relationship with ourselves, whether we are conscious of it or not, okay? So there might be some themes of that nature coming up in the next month, especially during eclipse season. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is we might not realize that Venus is kind of the star of the show for eclipse season in a lot of ways. Why is this? Well, Libra, where the eclipse is taking place tomorrow on March 25th. God, how is it March 25th, man? It's crazy. But Libra is ruled by Venus, right? And so part of forecasting this eclipse is actually looking at what Venus is doing. Right now, Venus actually is in a pretty happy place. They are in Pisces, and Venus loves to hang out in Pisces. Now, here's the thing though, guess who else is in Pisces? That is Saturn. And Venus actually just finished making a conjunction with Saturn in the past week. What does that mean in English? If anybody has any of their own insights into Venus and Saturn coming together, please put them in the chat. But I'm thinking, for me, there's this archetypal symbol of marriage in a lot of ways when Venus is conjunct Saturn. Now, I don't necessarily mean marriage like literally you're getting married or someone's getting married. I mean, that could be the case, sure, but people get married every day. But I want you to like think about the symbol of marriage. That's kind of Venus Saturn. This sort of Venus being love, harmony, being in the flow with another person, and Saturn being responsibility and commitment and long term, or the long term time in a lot of ways. So if we do think of a literal marriage, like the literal ritual of marriage, it usually includes some kind of symbol, right? That is symbolic to this commitment, which is Saturn, that I will love you or whatever, like I will love you through thick or thin, right? I'll love you through the ups and downs. That, in a nutshell, is typically, you know, what happens when someone has some sort of marriage ceremony. So, in a way, Venus and Saturn just did that in my eyes. There was some kind of commitment that just happened in the sky. Now, you may be listening to this and thinking, Mal, what are you talking about? I just went through a breakup, or I'm going through a divorce. Like, I'm not committing to anybody. I'm not marrying anybody. Do you know how hard it is to get a date these days? I do. So the thing is that we can commit and be married to a lot of different things. And that theme of marriage, that archetypal symbol of marriage, could be showing up in many different ways. You know, for me, it's kind of showing up relationally. And I am on the breakup train with with anybody who's been going through a little bit of a breakup. I'm in that frequency, so you're not alone. But I have felt like Venus Saturn has clarified a bit of what I do want to commit to, right? And then outside of love and relationships, you know what Venus and Saturn have been really communicating to me is further marriage or further commitment to your dream or your goal. There's been a few instances, both in readings with other people and also instances in my own life, where it's kind of hit me out of nowhere the past couple weeks with this Venus Saturn influence, the sort of like, you're not committed enough to your dream, or you're not taking your passion seriously enough. You're not committed to your artistic, creative, starseed identity as seriously as you should be. Or, you know, like there's something like that kind of in the air. Like, are you really seeing your dream or your manifestation as something that could seriously, like, come to fruition, you know? Sarah, you said, I have Venus Saturn conjunct Pisces in my natal chart. The key words devotion and discipline really resonate with me and can be applied to so many different aspects of life and ourselves. I love that. Yeah, yeah. Because even like, that kind of reminds me, Venus Saturn, as much as it can be like marriage in a romantic sense, I'm thinking about how like, when like a monk or a priest or someone who's like kind of on some kind of religious path will have some sort of ceremony symbolizing their marriage to God and thus their like chastity in the human realm. You know, and that's kind of like devotion and discipline, and there's something in the air with that, I think, that sort of metaphor. And yeah, Sarah, you're the perfect example, yeah, because you do have that Saturn Pisces conjunction in your own chart. So I'm thinking when it all kind of comes together, this eclipse in Libra and in Aries in a couple weeks, I think they both are alluding to some kind of Venus-Saturn story or a Venus-Saturn moment that can be further commitment to the vision. Now, as Saturn teaches us, Saturn is often related to endings and limitations. In the tarot, you may recall that the final card of the Fool's Journey, which is the World, is ruled by Saturn. You know, like, why is the final card of the Fool's Journey Saturn? Well, because Saturn says, like, there's sometimes no more room left to grow here, or there's a limitation here, and in order to continue on the path, there kind of has to be a release, right? Which is why, you know, there some of these commitments that we're making, or some of these dreams that we're taking more seriously also kind of go hand in hand with maybe a different part of our life that is now feeling limited. It's feeling like we've reached the end of the path on this one. Actually, as I'm talking about this, I'm seeing kind of like a road, and there's a couple different forks in the road where you could take a different path, but on the specific one that you're walking right now, there's literally a doorway. And the door, you're like trying to jimmy the knob, and it's just like not unlocking, and it feels like the message is there is a door maybe being closed, and as cheesy as it sounds, you can't go any further on this path, so now it's time to do the fork in the road and try something else, right? And Lauren, you said, I call Saturn Mean Daddy Saturn, in case that resonates for anyone. Yeah, literally. You know, and yeah, Saturn can sometimes feel a little harsh. Now, in the... Katie, you said, I've been talking with my ex and have been describing it as hovering outside this door, wondering why I'm doing that and whether it's time to close it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because Between eclipse season, Saturn conjunct Venus, and Mercury retrograde coming up as well. It's interesting. We're going to have a Mercury retrograde in Aries and then that eclipse in Aries on April 8th. There could be a lot of that sort of digging through past relationships, trying to figure out what happened, or trying to figure out, if this could have been different or whatever. Like, that could be for sure a certain vibe of this time. And one thing I'll say, if this helps anybody, because I'm just going to say this because, Venus Saturn can kind of be a little bit, as much as it is marriage, it's also divorce, right? Or like it's like commitment or limitation. Those are like the two sides of the spectrum of the transit. And for me, in this like breakup moment, it's not to say that like this breakup feels slightly not easier, but sort of like I've been able to get back to my peace faster, and that has nothing to do with my like lack of love for that person. But what I've realized is during a breakup, there's that really deep wound for me, that's like that inner child wound of sort of not being chosen, and that gets super activated. So over the past, handful of breakups in the past like 5 years or so, I've realized that, anytime I'm kind of reaching for an ex or reaching for a relationship, most of the time it's not actually my adult self doing so, but it's that inner child part who doesn't feel chosen trying to resolve something, right? Or trying to get chosen. And the more I've become aware of that, the more I've been able to like get to peace and just accept that this situation may actually have nothing to do with that other person not choosing me, right? Like, our inner child really can narrate the situation from their perspective, and maybe there are things like timing and compatibility issues and like all of that stuff that's factoring in as well. That is to say, I know Mercury retrograde, eclipse season, Venus Saturn can sometimes, bring up these themes with exes and past relationships. I'll invite you guys to do this. This is a little snippet of homework. Actually, I'll have us do it right now. Let's do it right now. It's just like a little meditation. I gave this homework to my Women Who Run With The Wolves group. And it's inspired by a quote from the Bluebeard story in Women Who Run With The Wolves. So there's like a huge theme of doorways in that story, if you know that story. And Clarissa Pinkola Estes, she says, "The very image of door meant something of spiritual value was within, or that there was something within which must be kept contained. So I love that. Like, I love the metaphor of the door either saying it's closed because something has to be contained, or it needs to be opened because there's some spiritual value within, right? So, like, there's this dual metaphor with the door that might be coming up right now. Yeah, Lauren, Aries energy might say it's time for us to choose our inner child. Yeah, totally. Totally. So I'll actually have us kind of bring some of these eclipse. Maybe it's eclipse anxiety. Maybe it's some, you know, eclipse challenge. I'll actually have us, like, gather that to just, like, in front of us energetically. And I'll invite us to close our eyes and kind of taking a deep breath, or at least connecting with the breath in some way. And that eclipse baggage that's kind of ready to get released or is needing to transform, just kind of have it beside you. Once you kind of feel it beside you, acknowledging that it's not, a direct part of you, right? Like, it's something outside of yourself. And now in your next visualization, I actually want you to think of a door. This is any door that comes to mind. This could be the door to your childhood home. This could be an imaginary door that appears in the middle of a forest. This could be the door of some sort of future home manifestation. This could be a door that you photographed when you were taking that international vacation a couple years ago. Just imagining any door. I'll give us a minute to settle in on that. And on your next inhale, I'll have you imagine putting your hand out and gripping the doorknob to this door and just noticing what happens. Does this door open? Does this door stay shut? What is the narrative that unravels? And after you feel that there's, you know, maybe that you've gotten all of the messages for now that the door is supposed to deliver to you in this moment, you can come back and feel free to use that visualization as something you come back to all week with this eclipse. You know, I think we can often check, you know, this doorway if we're confused or if we're struggling with whether to commit or let go or continue to question or accept. I think this doorway can help a lot with clarifying things, okay? All right, my friends, I think let's do sort of a card pull for everyone. And I'm gonna pull four cards. One is for water risings, earth risings, air risings, and fire risings, okay? So whatever your rising sign is, you're tuning into that. And I'm gonna pull from the animal spirit deck. So if you're a water rising, so this would be Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces rising. Your animal messenger is the camel. Okay. So, it's funny because the water risings actually got an animal that, I guess, well, Kim Kranz, categorizes the camel as a fire animal. And if you think about it, the camel is the animal that is kind of Saturnian. I mean, the camel rules over the long-term journey, you know, the long-term vision. The camel is biologically set up to be able to survive many days in the desert on a long journey without water, because it can carry water inside of its body, you know? So I think that's interesting. Like, the camel can store important nutrients to keep it motivated and keep going through the long journey, because I am sure that there are moments on that desert path that feel like, oh my God, are we gonna survive? We haven't seen society in days, like, you know? And if any water risings kind of feel discouraged or a bit like, I'm not sure when I'm gonna get through this tough time or this kind of unmotivating, stagnant feeling time, I think there's some inner resources that can be activated right now that could actually help with this final push through the desert, if that makes sense. And the whole feeling I'm getting is that feeling of like if you're running a mile and you're at you're 3/4 of the way done and you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. Like, am I gonna make it to the end? Like, the camel sort of like, yes, just keep going. You're gonna make it to the end. You're closer to the finish line than you thought. Okay. Earth rising, so this is Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo rising. You got the dragon. That's fun. It's actually in the Chinese zodiac, it's the year of the fire dragon. So maybe the earth risings have maybe a special message to read a little bit more into their Chinese zodiac. But I'm thinking about how the earth risings are being called to hype themselves up a bit. Like, it almost feels like I'm getting an image of like a bodybuilder, or like kind of like looking in the mirror and like kind of hyping themselves up and telling themselves that they're powerful. And for the Earth risings, it is important to remind yourself of your power. And sometimes we forget how far we've come. We forget what we have overcome in the past, because we get so wrapped up in the challenges of the present. So I think reminding oneself of your power, your grit, your ambition, your gumption, even just the mantra, like, I am powerful. I wonder what it would be like to play with that mantra this week and see if it changes anything about how you might be seeing a current challenge. Okay, air rising, you got the black egg. And that would be Aquarius rising, Libra rising, and Gemini rising. I'm the astrologer forgetting all the signs. So in this book, or in the animal spirit guidebook, Kim Kranz actually says the black egg, it rules over the throat chakra, I think. The golden egg. I'm trying to find the black egg. So Kim Kranz says this is speaking from an authentic voice. The black egg contains one of life's essential treasures, the truth. Inside of it resides no confusion, excuses, small talk, noises, or lies. This living and breathing vessel harbors only that which rings true. When this essence is in balance, we speak slowly and clearly. We are drawn to the activities like writing, reading, teaching, singing, or perhaps public speaking. I'm getting this sort of like when we know the truth, we feel it in a frequency. You know, that's why people say, like, oh, I can always tell when someone's lying. Well, you can feel that because you feel the frequency of what they're saying, right? The truth exists in a different frequency, right? So I'm getting, for the air risings, a lot of the times, our own anxiety stories, our own stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves aren't true, right? And I think the air risings have a little bit of like a self-concept battle a little bit during the eclipse, because, and this makes sense, because at least for Libra risings, it's your first house of the self. So it's like, is your self-perception actually the truth? And I think there's a moment of like self-esteem and self-confidence that's sort of ringing true for the air risings. In a slightly different way, though, than the earth risings. Because it feels like the earth risings have the confidence. They're just like seeing themselves as powerful and kind of harnessing that power. Whereas the air risings seem to be perhaps in a little bit more of that, like, I can't do this, or, well, of course you're not going to do it if that's the narrative. If the narrative is, I can't do this, then thus you're not going to be able to do it, right? So I'm like, so where can the air risings realize that some of their self-conception narratives aren't actually the truth. and that you're capable of more. And then finally, the fire, the fire elements, or the fire risings. So we've got Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius rising, the fire ant. Okay. So I just heard mind your own business. I'm feeling that, for the fire risings, it's important to stay in your lane and try not to dabble too much in other people's eclipse challenges. Stay on your path, stay focused. If your friend or your lover or your ex or whatever, is sort of having some issues during this eclipse season or whatever, I'm getting release yourself from the responsibility of other people's karma or other people's energetic story. That's actually a really good way of thinking about it, fire risings. You need to be in your own energetic story, because if you get too involved in someone else's energetic frequency, then you're now writing their story, or you're intersecting in their story, when really at this moment you're supposed to be in the writing of your own, right? So I think especially with fire risings, sort of like a don't get distracted by other people's drama, other people's karma. Don't try to resolve someone else's karma for them. It's actually impossible. I think more often than not, especially with relationship stuff, you know, sometimes I think we, romantic relationship stuff, we try to resolve other people's karma for them, which is also known as, I want to change you, you know, or I'm going to be such a good partner that it's going to change them. That's an example of how we often try to resolve someone's karma for them, and it's just not possible. And fire risings, focus on your own path as much as you can this week, okay? Well, my friends, I'm so glad we got to check in on eclipse season. It was super fun. If you're in the Chicagoland area, I have tarot class coming up this Thursday night. And I also have a free astrology workshop thing coming up April 7th, which I'll post about soon. But two opportunities to gather locally if you're in the Chicagoland area. If you're not in the Chicagoland area, but you want to hang out with me in the Zoom world, you can book a session on my website, MalloryHasty.com. Online astrology classes are coming soon, so I'm excited about that. So if you've been looking to take some astrology classes, keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. The Mallory Hasty Astrology School is in the works. Thanks, Corey. Thanks for coming along. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, SBI. I'll send you Reiki. I'm sending you some Reiki now. And keep me updated with eclipse season events. Okay? All right, friends. Talk later.